I get these little emails once in a while. Somebody sent me this one. Good news and bad news for a pastor. Good news and bad news for a pastor. All right, first one, good news. Good news, you baptized 7 people today in the river. Bad news, you lost 2 of them to the swift current. They never came up. Hallelujah. That would be bad news for a pastor. Some of these I can't read. Next one. Good news. The Women's Guild voted to send the pastor a get well card. Bad news. The vote only passed by 31 to 30. That would be bad news for pastor. In fact, that might be your call to leave. All right. Good news. The women's softball team finally won a game. Bad news. They beat your men's softball team. You know, this was sent to me anonymously now that I think about it. A couple of these here. Good news. Church attendance rose dramatically the last 2 weeks. Bad news. It happened when you were on vacation. I'm not offended. Everybody say, I'm not offended. I can't read that one. All right, here's one. Good news. The deacons voted to send you and your family on a prepaid trip to the Holy Land. Bad news. They want to wait until the next Mideast war breaks out. That's bad news. Amen. It's all right to laugh in church, isn't it? Are you in Philippians? If you hadn't found it by now, you need help. Amen. Let's pray. Go ahead and start the tape if you would. Father, we thank you so much for this study time together, Lord, as we launch into this new series on the spirit of offense. Lord, I pray that our eyes would be open to the work of the enemy. I pray that we would understand how the enemy uses this chief tool to try to wreak havoc on churches, marriages, jobs. Lord, may the enemy's plan be uncovered, but more importantly, may we discover how to walk in the very love of God. May we walk around totally shielded from offense. May we walk around with the shield of God's love and faith around us. Lord, we thank you for your strength in Jesus' name. If you agree for your life, would you say amen? Amen. I want you to write this title down. I encourage you to take notes. As always, this is a very important series in the life of our church. The title is The Spirit of Offense. The Spirit of Offense. This is session number 1, and today's title in particular is The Bait of Satan. The Bait of Satan. The Spirit of Offense and session number 1, The Bait of Satan. I want to say this right off as I'm teaching on this. There is no offense that I have in mind. This church is at peace, praise God. We've declared that World Outreach Christian Center will be a no-strife zone. I mention that in most every membership class, new members class. No-strife zone, just won't tolerate it. And in the membership class, those of you who have been through membership, we talk about strife and how to deal with it. And so, you know, I don't have anything in mind. Nothing's in my heart. This is not a secret subliminal message that I'm sending to any of you, because it's very possible as I start a series on the spirit of offense, you will in fact become offended with me. And you will come up in the hall and say, your message on offense offended me. And I'll say, why? And you'll say, because I know you had me in mind. And guess what? I don't have any of you in mind. I am just teaching what I believe by the Spirit of God at this time in the history of our church on the spirit of offense. And as we said, we will find out this is how Satan baits us into his trap. Now, the spirit of offense, before we look at this passage in Philippians chapter 1, the spirit of offense, I can tell you this, is involved in every marriage problem. You'll always find the spirit of offense. Certainly every divorce situation, you will find the spirit of offense. Every person who experiences an ongoing job instability. Now, I'm not talking about people that, you know, all of us at times have changed jobs or occupations or focuses, but somebody who has a history of constantly losing jobs, losing jobs, losing jobs, I will tell you that there is the spirit of offense at work in their life. And yes, every church split, every time a church has split, I will tell you the spirit of offense has been at work. In fact, the more that we study this, the more that I study this week and particularly this weekend, other people's materials and collecting all that I could about it, it's such an extensive, almost an exhaustive study, because the spirit of offense takes you into the subject of strife. It takes you into the subject of forgiveness, unforgiveness, contention, and on you go. You begin to see that this is one of the chief weapons that the enemy tries to use in our lives. And so why am I preaching on this? So we won't be ignorant of the enemy's devices. And I dare say that as we plow into this, many of you will say, man, I didn't realize it, but that's why things aren't working in my life. The reason, you know, I feel like I've been a tither, I feel like I've done a lot of these other religious things, but because I tend to walk in a spirit of offense all the time, it blocks the very power of God that I desire to see occur in my life. Philippians chapter 1, and I want you to go to verses 9 and 10. I realize we have different, you know, Bible versions, translations in the auditorium, so yours may read slightly different. But the thought is certainly there. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. Paul says, "In this I pray, that your love may abound." Would you underline that phrase? That, you know, that should be our goal. Love may abound. The agape love. Not conditional love. What kind of love? The agape. What is that? Unconditional love. "In this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment," or discernment. Verse 10, "that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense." Some of the versions say a clear conscience, but I like it better, and actually the Greek there is the word offense. "That you may be sincere," some say blameless. But again, the term there, sincere and without offense, "until the day of Christ," and let me read verse 11, "being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God." Now, Paul is writing to people who obviously know the Lord. He's writing to the Philippian Christians. And he says this. He says, number one, "I'm praying that the love of God in your life can increase more and more." That should be every one of our goals, to be more like God, and God is love. He says, balanced off the opposite side of that is, "I'm praying that until Jesus comes, you will stay in an offense free zone in your life, that you won't walk around with your feelings hanging on your shoulder, that every time somebody looks at you crosswise, you get your feelings hurt. Well, I take offense at that. Well, why'd you take it? Because you're going to find out in this study, you don't need to take it. Everybody say, "I don't take it." Everybody say, "I refuse it." Now, most of us, you know, we have a struggle in our lives where at some point in time somebody offends us. And I want you to write this in your notes, though it is a simple thought. I want you to physically write it down to reinforce it in your life. And I want you to write it like a formula. Offense equals, and just use an equal sign, offense equals deadly poison. Offense equals deadly poison. The more that we study this, the more that you're going to see that offense does two things. Number one, when you're offended with somebody, offended with your spouse, offended with your employer, offended with the church, offended with somebody in the church, offended, you know, over somebody that you don't even know that just looked at you crosswise at Walmart. I'm offended with the checkout person at the Walmart. They didn't check me out right. I'm offended with the guy who pushed the buggy out on the lot. He didn't push the buggy right. I'm offended, offended, offended. That when you're offended, it does two things. Number one, it blocks the power of God able to get to you. The blessings God will want to get to you, it blocks them. It's a deadly poison. But number two, it opens the door to the devil. It opens the door to the devil. I want to tell you this story. This is a true story that I saw in the paper probably now a couple years ago, about a guy in North Georgia. Some of you heard me tell this. And this is a true story, by the way. A father, the story read that a father in the North Georgia area and his son had found a rattlesnake. And instead of killing this rattlesnake, for whatever bizarre reason, the father thought it would be a novelty to capture this rattlesnake, which has deadly poison, make it a novelty, build a little cage for it, take it home, and, you know, just kind of keep it in the cage, locked up. Little did he realize that one day he would be off at his job, and the young boy would be over there messing with that cage and by accident open the door, and that pent-up rattlesnake that had been harassed, intimidated by all the onlookers, struck that boy injected the poisonous venom, and that boy died. That's a true story. And the father said, listen to me, because there's a spiritual lesson we can take from this. He said, if I had only known that that rattlesnake would kill my only son, I would have never brought it home. Are you getting anything out of this? See, some of you think that to be offended is your right. Some of you think, well, after all, what they said, what they did, what they did not do, and your expectation is not in God. Your expectation, your expectations are far beyond what any human being really can meet in your life anyway. And that offense is like a rattlesnake that will inject deadly poison into your system. It will cause mental and emotional torment in your life and eventually in others' lives. It says a root of bitterness that will defile you and many others. And so it's a poisonous venom that will begin to cause a deadly reaction in your system. And if it spreads, it'll cause a deadly reaction in other people's system. People that walk in your home, you can just like, man, almost cut it with a knife. You ever walked into a situation where it's like, whoa, what did I just walk into here? You don't even know the people. You just feel the tension in the air. Feel the tension in the air. Paul says, look at verse 10 closely though. He's praying. He says, I'm praying that you may approve things that are excellent. In other words, that you can have discernment and proper judgment, that you may be sincere, underline this, without offense until the day of Jesus Christ. Go with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Do you get anything out of this? I am telling you, the very words I'm speaking, I believe, this has been on my heart for some time, but the Lord has just released me to minister on this. And the more I've studied it, it's probably going to be a yearly message. Psalm 119. Some of you say, well, I've heard stuff on this. May I just remind you that Peter even wrote to the believers of that day. He said, I'm going to stir you up to remembrance of things that you already know. I'm going to make sure that you get established in them. And after you're established in them, I'm going to write you again and stir you up into remembrance again. This is one of those messages that we need to hear again and again and again. And there are, listen to me, there are marriages in this auditorium, as small of a church as we are at this point, we will not always be small, but even with this size of a crowd, there are marriages in this auditorium that if you don't get hold of this message on the spirit of offense, you will not be married several years down the road. I can tell you that as the pastor. There are some of you whose jobs and occupations will not succeed if you don't get hold of this message. Psalm 119, go toward the end, verse 165. You ought to just memorize this psalm one day. Hallelujah! Psalm 165. Yes, I said Psalm 119, verse 165. What a powerful verse. Great peace. Everybody say great peace. Okay, now that's what we want. We don't want offense, do we? We want great peace. Great peace have they which love thy law, and underline this, and nothing shall offend them. Nothing shall offend them. Everybody say nothing. Everybody say nothing. Nothing shall offend them. Now, the Hebrew there, and some of your versions may say this, uses the word stumbling block. They shall have no stumbling block. And you'll find that the idea of offense goes right along with anger, bitterness, resentment, which causes you to stumble in your walk or your marriage relationship, if we're into that realm, or your business or whatever. You're stumbling and you don't even know why you're stumbling, why things aren't working out, because you're offended on the inside. Watch this. If you're offended on the inside, nothing's going to be right on the outside. Now look closely at verse 165 again. Great peace have they which what? Which what? All right, can I just kind of take a little liberty there? That love the Word of God. So the Word of God, watch this, the Word of God comes in me, and begins to meet my need that other people can't meet. But if I am void of the Word of God, don't miss this, if I am void of the Word of God, then I'm going to come over here and put an expectation on Tim or Johnny or Betty or Cliff or just right on down the line. I'm going to put an expectation on them. I want them to fill that need when in fact only God Himself can fill that need. If I am strengthened by God's Word and I am in communion with the Lord, then I am guarded against offense. But when I am wordless and I am not in communion with the Lord, I am easily offended. Why? Because I'm looking for a need to be met in the wrong place. Verse 165, great peace. Everybody say, great peace.
Great peace.
Hallelujah. That's our goal. Great peace have they which love thy law, thy word, and nothing shall offend them. Go with me to Isaiah 32. I just want to take you on a journey with some background verses here. You enjoying this? Isaiah 32. Isaiah 32, and I want to read this particular one also from the Amplified. I really like the Amplified version. It brings out so often meanings from the Hebrew and the Greek that aren't readily seen in our English translations. Isaiah 32, go to verse 17. Isaiah 32, verse 17. It says, "And the work of righteousness shall be peace." There we are back to peace. "And the effect of righteousness," underline this, "quietness and assurance forever." Quietness and assurance forever. Now, let me read that from the Amplified because it brings this inward and external effect as well. Listen to verse 17 from the Amplified. "The effect of righteousness will be peace," parentheses, "internal and external." I like that. Everybody say internal.
Internal.
Everybody say internal.
Internal.
And external. So watch this. If I am strengthened by the Word of God, by the Spirit of the Lord, by His righteousness, I have peace on the inside, which will determine what I'm going to have on the outside. The problem is we think backwards. Look at your neighbor and say, "You think backwards." Now don't get offended because they said that. Remember, we're talking about the spirit of offense. Well, what do you mean I think backwards? Here's the way we think. I want everybody to line up on the outside the way I want them to line up. Then I'll be at peace. Backwards. God says, start on the inside. Get the peace on the inside and the external. Verse 17, Amplified, "And the effect of righteousness will be peace, internal and external, and the result of righteousness will be quietness and confident trust forever." Proverbs 16. Go with me to Proverbs 16. So many passages we could go to. In fact, as I studied last night with some Bible software I have and commentaries and things like that, I mean, I ended up with pages full of verses. Not necessarily with the word offense or offended in them, but verses that relate strife, anxiety. All this begins to run together. Proverbs 16. Go to verse 32. Proverbs 16, verse 32. "He that is slow to anger." Everybody say, slow to anger. Now compare that to a person who's just got a short fuse. See, the problem is we have all had short fuses, haven't we? Some of you are just looking at me. Haven't we all had short fuses? I'll cast lying devils out of you now. Well, what's a short fuse? Well, a fuse is a fuse that's been lit a number of times during the day. So you started out and your fuse is about 3 feet long. And you know, you got a long fuse at the beginning of the day, but by the time lunchtime comes around, 4 or 5 people come up, lit that little thing and kind of burned it down. So by the time you get home, honey, your fuse is about 1/4 inch. And you walk in and the dog or the cat, mind you, not even your wife or your husband or the children, the dog or the cat, you know, jumps up in your lap and wham, that thing blows up. It's like, my God, what's wrong with him? Well, his fuse has been burning all day until there's not much left. And you say, why would he react over something silly like that? Well, you don't understand where that person's been coming from, see? We ought to cut each other a little bit of slack. How many of you want God to be merciful in your life? That one of the things we're going to find out about offense is you need to look beyond the potential offense and think, what is that person facing right now in their life? What is that person going through? That helps you to have the mercy of the Lord towards them instead of just reacting to that little fuse that you saw. verse 32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit, I want you to underline this, he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Now, can I just kind of put that in modern slang here? If you can rule your spirit and guard yourself against offense, you are stronger than a mighty warrior. You are stronger than General Patton. You are stronger than all the Allied forces. You are stronger than Kung Fu. You are stronger than Kwon Do or whatever they have. You are stronger than Walker, Texas Ranger. You're stronger than a kickboxer. You're stronger than the heavyweight champion of the world. It says in verse 32, he that ruleth his spirit. I want everybody to say this. Help me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to rule my spirit. In other words, my attitudes, my thought. That's not necessarily talking about your human spirit there. Then he that taketh a city. Proverbs 18. Oh boy, you're going to put a star by this one. If you've ever experienced it, and we probably all have. If you haven't, you probably haven't lived long enough yet. Proverbs 18, mark verse 19. Proverbs 18, 19. A brother offended. How many of you have ever offended someone else? Come on, come on. I'm just offended that all of you aren't raising your hands right now. How many of you ever offended someone else? You didn't mean to. It was a mistake. You had a short fuse. Whatever. This is the verse that you'll understand. Verse 19. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. And their contentions are like the bars of a castle. Now, you know, I'm thinking of one situation right now where I have a person not even in this city. So be relieved. This is not a prophetic insight. I have a person that's not even in the city that is offended at me. And we had a disagreement over something. I have reached out. I have made phone calls. I have sent emails. I've done all that I know to do. And it's like the doors are shut. The bars are up. The wall is high. And I can't get in. You say, well, what do you do in a situation like that? Well, we're going to be coming to that. But if you have repented for whatever part you had, if you've gone to God about it, and if you have reached out to them in sincerity, what else can you do but pray? But that tells us about the power of offense and contention and arguments. It says that it'll cause that person to be a strong city and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. A lot of us tend to pout. What's wrong?
Nothing.
Well, if nothing's wrong, why don't you inform your face about it? What's wrong? Nothing. Come on, tell me. Don't want to talk about it. What do we all tend to do? We all tend to, and here's the plan of the enemy, get us into isolation. Get us into isolation. If the enemy can come in like a wolf and get one sheep out of the herd, they are easy prey for the wolf pack. Are you hearing me? Easy prey for the wolf pack. But you know, withdrawing, don't want to talk, don't want to respond, just want to pout and sulk. It's kind of an undercover way of getting back, striking back. And that will cause damage. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. Now I want to give you the definition, one of the main words for the word offense in the Bible. You got to write this down. It is such an awesome word picture from the Greek. Do you understand what I mean by a word picture? When you hear the definition, you can picture something instead of just hearing words. You can picture this. One of the main Greek words is the word scandalon. That already sounds bad, doesn't it? Let me spell the transliteration for you. S-K-A-N-D-A-L-O-N. Scandalon. S-K-A-N-D-A-L-O-N. Obviously, we get our modern English word scandal. So in other words, here's how the devil draws you into a scandal. Here's how the devil will draw you into a situation. You went, how did I get myself into this situation? How did this happen to me? All right, let's track it out. Here's how it's going to happen. You went for the bait. And what is the bait? The bait is offense. Now, let me give you the two definitions. Number one, the word scandalon, where we get the word offense, or the word offend, offended, different versions of the same word. The word scandalon, number one, means, and you can look this right up in the, it's so good you're going to think I made this up, okay? Just go check it out for yourself in one of the Greek lexicons. Number one, the part of an animal trap that holds the bait. That's what the word scandalon means. The part of an animal trap that holds the bait used to lure the prey. The part of an animal trap that holds the bait used to lure the prey. Now, you know, when I was a kid, we tried to make these little... I don't know, was I the only one? Probably a boy thing. I don't know if the girls did this or not. They're probably playing with dolls or something. You know, I made a shoebox trap. You ever made a shoebox trap? Make a shoebox trap. Put a little thing on it, you know, and draw a string on it. And you just hope a bird, wait for days. Never had, bird's too smart to go in that thing, you know. Just, you know, pull that and trap him. Trap him. Most traps have a bait. Something that a piece of meat. Think of the mouse trap, you know, piece of cheese. Something that looks so good. Watch this. It looks so good. I know it's a trap. Looks like a trap. But that cheese looks too good. I can do it. Everybody say, I can do it.
I can do it.
Oh, that's your flesh that thinks you can do it. I'm going to go in there and nibble, and it ain't going to hurt me. I can just be offended a little bit. I can just give them a piece of my mind. Honey, you don't got enough to keep giving it away, so you better keep what you got. I can just pout a little, soak a little, and that trap won't get me. Number two, second definition. This is so good. When I read this in the Strongs, I just went, yeah. Number two, the movable stick of a trap. The word scandalon means the movable stick of a trap. Now here's how, watch this, here's how the enemy works, attempts to sidetrack us, move us out of the blessing, move us off of God's will. Come on, how many of you want the blessings of God? How many of you want the perfect will of God in your life? You're never going to have it if you live in a state of offense. Why? It is the bait of Satan. It's the part of the trap that holds the bait. So, a situation comes along your way. You said, my God, you're walking down the church hall and you said hi to somebody. They didn't say hi back to you. We're talking major stuff here. I mean, we're talking, this is grounds for offense. I said hi to Pastor Martha. I said hi to Steve Skelton. I said hi to Debbie Cotter. I said hi to somebody, and I know they heard me. I said it loud enough for them to hear me. They didn't even acknowledge my presence. They called this a church of the love of God. Don't they know I'm hurting? Don't they know I'm bleeding? They didn't call me. They did not call me. Now watch this. You go in and you grab a hold of that offense. Wham! The trap is sprung. Why is the trap sprung? Because watch this. Write this down in your own shorthand somehow. The enemy is now going to hold you captive. He's going to hold you captive. Captive for what? For his purposes. I said for his purposes. He's going to hold you captive from freedom. Mm-hmm. What is freedom? To move by the Spirit of God, to what God wants you to do. He's going to starve you to death. See, in a trap, there's a little bit of food, but that's not enough to live on. And so there you are trapped, and you're going to starve to death. You're wounded. You're hurt. You're in a trap. What kind of trap are you in? An emotional trap? Mental mind game trap? Anybody get anything out of this? Now this happens in marriages, the best marriages. And the worst situation in a marriage would be that it would cause an ultimate breakup and I'm quitting on you and you're quitting on me. All because of offenses that build. come in, you know, just pulling an example out. You come in, you know, and you're tired, and it's like you want your wife to pay a little attention to you or stroke you, and she's busy with the children or she's busy cooking dinner or whatever. It's like, doesn't she understand my emotional needs? So you just go sit down and you sulk. How was your day? Okay. Did you have a good day? Yeah. Sounds like it. And all of a sudden you get these little vibes. Remember the old Beach Boy, I'm feeling good vibrations? You're not feeling good vibrations at this point. You're feeling bad vibrations. Vibrations. Now, a spiritual woman could guard herself against offense. She's been in the Word. She's been listening to Joyce Meyer tape. She's pumped up, you know. And she's, I'm not going to let that offend me. And she's a sensitive person, so she's going to go over and minister that need. But somebody who's not in the Word of God, they're not built up, suddenly they take offense at the offense. Now we got two wild animals pulling at each other, stuck in a trap, and fighting at each other. And there you go, round and round over silly, stupid stuff. Am I right?
Yes.
Is Pastor preaching good?
Yes.
I'm preaching too good. Some of you are just looking at me like, Better not write anything down. Everybody will notice if I write something down. Oh, praise God. You know, and worship team, I'm going to use the worship team as an example in a generic sense. I'm not picking on this worship team, okay? But I will tell you, in 20 plus years of traveling around the country, so don't worship team, say I'm not offended. Okay, y'all aren't offended. Amen. In 20 years of traveling around the country, you know what most pastors tell me? Most pastors tell me if the enemy is going to try to come in and bring contention and strife, he'll start generally through the worship team. Now, see, we got the door shut on that deal because I'm married to the worship leader. Hallelujah. Praise God. So the devil, boy, he's just got to go sniff another deal. We've already proclaimed this is a no-strife zone anyway. Not many will never have some strife, but we'll deal with it. We will not let it just linger and linger and linger like bad trash that needs to be taken out. It stinketh by this time. We will take it out to the dumpster. Amen. But most pastors tell me this. Here's a typical scenario. And I'll come over here behind the keyboard. Only in my dreams. Amen. You know, worship leaders got the worship list planned. Man, she's prayed over this or he's prayed over the worship team. I've heard God. I've got a prophetic word. I know I'm supposed to have 29 songs in this service. Amen. And so they're ready to go. They're leading the saints of God in worship. Now, the pastor's sitting on the front row, and the worship leader doesn't know what the pastor's dealing with. He's thinking, man, I got a baby dedication this morning. I got communion to do. Come on now. I've got a message that I'm supposed to preach. Now I'm starting to get the prophetic word because the worship's so good. Hallelujah. And then we're supposed to send so-and-so off to the mission field. And I got about 10 things I need to get done in 2 hours, and it's all supposed to be anointed. And there's always somebody in the crowd that wants you to raise the dead during the 2 hours too. So, anyway, the worship leader, here they are. They're all about their fourth song. All about their fourth song. And lo and behold, my God, here comes the pastor's walking up to the podium. He's getting ready to bump into my time. He's getting ready to grieve the Holy Ghost. My ghost and the Holy Ghost. He's getting ready to grieve all those ghosts. He's getting ready to grieve everybody. And so I'm going to turn the volume up. I turn the volume up. Here we go. They're not shutting me down. Hallelujah. Anybody get anything out of this? Worship team, do you still love me? Pastor's over the podium and he's trying to be, you know, congenial. And he's trying to, you know, not just look at him and just go, cut! And he tries to prophesy. And lo and behold, that organ drowns his prophecy out. Hallelujah. Now, pastor's wife's sitting on the front row, and she sees what's going on. She's getting offended at the worship leader. Now, you haven't even gotten halfway through your service, and you got the worship leader offended with the pastor. Pastor's wife offended with the worship leader. Pastor's in confusion. And Jesus has gone on down the road to another church. Hallelujah. Amen. You boil that stuff down. Selfishness. Now, I want you to write two main reasons down why we have offenses. two main reasons why we have offenses. You get anything out of this? Oh, I ain't finished yet. I am not finished by a long shot yet. Quickly, two main reasons for offenses. Number one, selfishness. That's the biggest one, selfishness. We want our way. We want them to meet our need. Don't you understand? I have a special song. When are you going to let me sing my special song? Hallelujah. Selfishness. Why won't y'all let me, you know, wave my flag? Why won't y'all let me play my tambourine? Why won't y'all let me shake my shaker? Why won't y'all let me jump from pew to pew? Why won't y'all let me do my thing? Oh, I told you I wouldn't finish by a long shot. Now, you go to some churches where they let anything go, it looks like mass confusion. I'm not against tambourines. I'm not against shakers. I'm not against the dancers. But you know what? You just can't turn a service over to who would have thought it. You are going to have a who would have thought it service. Mm-hmm. Everybody say good preaching.
Good preaching.
Number two, the second main reason for offenses is people have a love bank that's on low. Best way I know how to put it. People have a love bank that is on low. It's like their gas tank is very low in the realm of love. They don't feel loved. They don't have very much input into their lives in the love realm. And so they have a short fuse because they're now looking for love from someone else. And as soon as I said that, some of y'all just say, "That's true. He doesn't give me the attention I need." No, you didn't hear me. You did not hear me. We're going to be talking about developing your love walk with Jesus. The reason your love bank's on low is you hadn't been in the Word enough. You hadn't been praying enough. And you haven't cried out to God to give you a revelation of His love in your life. His love. Everybody say His love. So, the worst case scenario, your love bank can be filled. You say, "Now, Jason, that sounds theoretical." Anybody remember Corrie Ten Boom? Some of you may not have heard of Corrie Ten Boom, some of the younger ones, but I can't think of a more horrific situation than the death camps of Nazi Germany. I dare say your situation isn't even close. And the Nazis putting people to death and abusing people and sexually picking out the pretty ones and cutting gold teeth out of people's heads. You can't come close to that. And Corrie Ten Boom, out of her own testimony, she's with the Lord now, but she said, "I felt hatred rising up in my heart towards those Nazis. Here I was a Christian and I found myself wanting to kill them." And her sister, who died in the death camp, her sister said, "No hate. No hate. Pray for them. Reach out to them." Now, darling, there is a person who knows how to draw on the love of God.
Yes.
There's a person who knew how to keep their love tank filled up in the most horrific, ungodly situation that perhaps has ever been in history. Corrie came out of that with a revelation of God's love, and everywhere she went before she died, that was her message: the love of God. Pray for those who abuse you. Reach out to those who try to use you. Walk in the love of God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Well, you get back to the church situation. You know, and there's people, "Pastor, I've got a hot message. I've got a hot message. When are you going to let me preach my message?" Well, there's a time. And that time may not be the time that your self thinks it needs to be done. "When are you going to let me do this? When are you going to let me do that?" Selfishness and the love bank. If you understand those two areas, I can tell you, you can conquer the spirit of offense. How many of you want to conquer the spirit of offense? Let me show you how this bait works in another way before I leave this point and move on. Let's take a marriage situation. In a marriage situation, and I'm thinking of an example right now of what happened to one of the largest ministries that ever existed in our country. And this is in a book that's public knowledge, so I'm just going to leave it at that. But in this scenario, the minister and his wife had emotionally fallen out a long time ago. They were on the screen ministering to everybody in the whole world. God would honor His word. Miracles would happen. People would get saved. But behind the scenes, they were not happy campers in their marriage. You following this? Because they let the ministry become their God, in a sense, instead of personal time in the Word, instead of just going to the Word to have a meeting and have a broadcast and this and that. It caused their love banks to be on empty within themselves. Now watch how they become offended one with another. Offended one with another. On the camera, everything's hunky-dory, but behind the scenes, offended with one another. And may I add this and insert this, before you go to judging them, you better go to the mirror and examine the mirror in your own life. Every one of us are guilty of this at times. Maybe not to this extreme, as far as the results. Because they got hold of the bait of offense. What did I say? Look at scandalon's definition again. What is number one? Scandalon is what? The part of a trap, what? That holds the what? And what's the rest of it? To lure the prey. Here's how the enemy works. I'm offended now in my marriage. I have bit into the bait. Trap comes down. Now I am open game for an affair. Now, because I'm offended, and not just a one-time offense, I'm talking about this thing's been building, 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 love banks going down, 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 gas tanks going down, down, down. Now, because of all this offense that's built up, the enemy is jerking my chain where he wants me to go. And I just happen to meet so-and-so, who just happens to seem to understand what I need. And why can't my wife talk to me like you talk to me? Why can't my husband understand me like you seem to understand me? And then there's an affair, and then it breaks public, and then all kind of confusion, as it says in James, every evil work. It's like a circus breaks out, and a whole ministry is brought down, just like the day of Samson, where his mission was cut short and aborted because of the same principles applied in his life. You getting this? I've known businessmen, late in their life. I'm thinking of one example right now, and I dare not say who or where, because God can always restore. Somebody say amen. But I'm thinking of one businessman that helped us in our ministry in a very large, significant way at one point. And I'm talking about like in his middle 50s, 60s, should have been long past the midlife crisis deal, you know. Dumps his wife, runs after some sweet-looking thing. His business goes downhill to pot. His family just dissolves right in front of his eyes. It's just like when you look at it from the outside, kind of in a sterile environment, analytical way, it's like people just self-destruct. But you go back and you find out the spirit of offense is the root. It's the bait that lured them in to what the devil ends up doing in their lives. Are your eyes being opened? I said, are your eyes being opened? We could talk about marriages. We could talk about jobs. We could talk about churches. Basically, relationships. Wherever there's a relationship, you have the opportunity to be offended. Now, I want to give you a progression. So maybe in your notes, just draw a line. And I want to give you a progression here. I want to show you what offense leads to. So kind of look at me. I've got an invisible chalkboard up here right now. I'm going to give you a series of words or phrases, and the first one is offense, and then you draw an arrow. Offense leads to this and leads to that, and I want to give you a progression. So the first thing is offense, draw an arrow, leads to anger. When you're offended, there's anger. Now, below the word anger, let me give you some other descriptions. just to kind of amplify on anger before we go to the next step. Offense leads to anger. Write these other descriptors down. Resentment, bitterness, emotional torment. Do you see how all that can run together? You get offended, you're hurt, or you're angry. And if you brew on that, it's not too long until resentment, bitterness, torment happens. All right. Offense leads to what?
Anger.
Draw another arrow. Anger typically will lead to isolation. Isolation. You isolate yourself from the person you're offended with. That doesn't mean you may not be talking with other people, but you're telling them exactly what happened from your perspective. And if you're spiritual, you'll try to cover it up with a smoke screen. I'm just telling you so you can pray about it, but I want to tell you what he said. So you can pray for him. Offense, anger, isolation, and the last one, draw another arrow. Always, if it's not cut off, if it's not dealt with, will lead to deception. Deception. And I want to give you some words below deception to amplify that one. Offense, anger, isolation, deception. Let me give you some other things to deception. Irrational behavior. You fly off the handle and say things and do things that you never would have done otherwise. Irrational behavior. Oh, this is a good one. Exaggeration. When you retell the story, I mean, that thing is amplified like through a magnifying glass. And somebody else that might have been there goes, no, that's not exactly what happened. But we're going to amplify the part that offended us to make it look like the big deal. Irrational behavior, exaggeration. Oh, yes, here's another little jolly thing from the pit of hell. Judgment. Have you ever noticed when you get offended with somebody, it's so easy to just judge them as a total person? I mean, I'll take the pastor, for instance. Here the pastor has been there for years. He's worked hard. He's preached. He's prayed for you. He's stood with you on different things. One little deal, so often a parishioner will get upset with a pastor over, he didn't call me, he didn't look my way, he didn't answer in timely fashion or whatever. And it's like, you know what, he's not a man of God. In other words, instead of just, that is one situation that he missed it on, all of a sudden it's like, now, judgment. That guy he's from the pit of hell, he's a wolf in sheep's clothing, and on you go. And we tend to do that with one another. Isn't that right? It's right if I pick on preachers for a little bit? It's not just the parishioner or the pastor. It's husband and wife do this. Below deception, add this other one. Obviously, pride enters in. I'm not talking to them until they come to me. Well, I reached out to them. Of course, they didn't know I was reaching out to them. Now the ball's in their court. Add this below deception, wrong choices. Wrong choices. Now I'm going to pick on another favorite one. And again, this is kind of like when you talk about medical problems. Nurses will tell you this, as well as people going through a medical doctor's program, they will tell you this. When they start describing all these diseases, and you're in the classroom, you go, oh my God, I think I've got that one too. And one of the key things is itching. You know, I've been itching lately. I mean, so it's like you think you got all of them. So I'm not trying to do that to you, but I'm trying to just show you how broad and vast this thing hits. I do realize, let me preface this, I do realize that God leads people at times to leave churches and go to other churches. He's done that in my life. There's a proper way to leave. There's a way to leave with a blessing attitude instead of a judgmental attitude. Okay, so let's just clear the slate. I know God does that. I know God will, in our history, that'll happen here. And our policy is we want to be a blessing to those people who are here for a time and then they go. But to be fair about it, so often, here's the other side of the coin, so often some people, they leave out of offense instead of by the Spirit. Of course, they don't ever say, why have you left the church? Well, I left because I'm offended. We're clever than that. More clever than that. And so he said, the Lord is leading me out. Lord, had nothing to do with it. Your offense is leading you by the nose. I mean, the devil stuck his fingers up your nose and he's leading you out because you have been poking your nose in places you don't need to go. And he's leading you by the nose. Well, I wouldn't go back to that church if hell froze over. You know, and on you go. On and on you go. Well, they worship too long. Well, you know, they don't worship enough. Why don't we worship more? Well, he preaches too long. Well, I'm glad he kept it short the other day, you know. And all you think, you know, all the wisdom, and because of an offense, people are led and they wonder, why can't I find the will of God? Look at the progression I gave you. What's the last one called? Deception. Pride is part of that. Deception. And many times people will leave jobs because they're offended. I want to tell you, you should never leave a situation out of offense. I was talking to one family this past week that has been led to come to this church, and I'll tell you, I was absolutely impressed. They said, Pastor, we just want you to know we would have been over here earlier because there were some duties and commitments that we had at our previous church, and we wanted to make sure those things were covered before we left. And in fact, there's still an area that is not yet covered, and they say, we hope you understand, but we're still doing this and that to help that church make the transition. Now, is that a blessing or what? That's the right way to do things instead of going out, you know, with an offense. All right, quickly, go with me to Mark chapter 4. I've got to pick up the pace here. Mark chapter 4. Remember, this is just our first in a series on the spirit of offense. Mark chapter 4. This is what causes so many people to quit on the Lord. They go to a church, they get offended at something at the church, and next thing you hear, it's like, I'm not in church anymore. Have you ever heard that one? I'm not going to church anymore because, you know, back down the road sometime, the preacher offended me, the deacon offended me, the Sunday school teacher offended me, somebody offended me. I am offended, so I'm not going to church anymore. Well, hello, grow up. Everybody say, grow up. Because, honey, if you walk through life with that kind of chip on your shoulder, I can tell you this, you're not going to be successful at anything. Because guess what? Offenses are coming. See, this is not a message that says you can live in an offense-free society. Wrong. You are going to be offended. And you know what? The people you spend time with, lo and behold, they're the ones who offend you. Why is that, Pastor? Well, duh. So you say, I don't want to ever be offended. Well, then you have to be a hermit somewhere and you'll end up offending yourself. Mark chapter 4, go to verse 16. Just want to point this out. This is one of the areas that Jesus identified as what knocks people out of the race. Verse 16. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. Everybody say they receive it. So this is a person who's at a meeting or in church or whatever scenario. They receive it. So they're not like, I don't want to hear it. They receive it. But look at verse 17. They have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, underline this, when affliction, persecution, ariseth for the word's sake, underline it, immediately they are offended. They're offended. And because they're offended, go back to that progression, they get in anger. Look at your progression. They get angry with somebody. They isolate. I am not ever going back to a church. No church in the whole world. Organized religion is of the devil. How many times have I heard that one? Well, I will tell you this. Thank God early on I discovered this, because I will tell you, I have been offended so many times in churches. As an evangelist, I've been offended because they didn't receive an offering after I'd worked my rear end off for a week preaching. How many of you like to get paid if you work somewhere? So don't look at me so holy. Don't receive an offering for you. They receive an offering, they give you, you know, they've worked there a week and they give you $75 as if anybody else could live on that. I remember one time I had a stinking attitude. Everybody say stinking. we were coming back, and to add insult to injury, the pastor, Martha was with me early in our ministry, the pastor had, I don't know why he had it, I don't think it's proper for the pastor to take the money home with him, but he had the money bag from his offering. He set it up on the church, up on the table at lunchtime and said, "Praise God, you know, we had a good turnout today and I think we've got a good offering." Then he gave me my $75 check. I was not a happy camper. What were you offended at? I was offended. Offended at who? The world. Offended with Pastor Pearly. Whatever his name was, you know. Offended with the congregation. Just offended. Well, if this is what the ministry's like, are they going to, you know, starve you to death and try to keep you humble? This is what the ministry's like? Honey, I could make money. I'll tell you this. I could make money. I'm not in this for the money. So, now, we're driving away. And I'm saying, can you believe that? $75 and a Happy Meal ticket. And they're supposed to be, what a blessing. I'm going down the road. And Martha, she says, "Well, let's just sow it to the Lord." Sow it to the Lord? Sow what to the Lord? I can remember it so clearly. She said, "Let's just have a good attitude and let's just sow it to the Lord." Everybody say, "You should have listened to your wife." Well, I wasn't quite ready to listen to my wife. I'm driving down the road and I'm going fast. Deception. I'm going fast. I just can't believe it. Lo and behold, I have a blowout. $100 tire blows out. Now I'm in debt. And I'm on the side of the road changing a tire. And it wasn't just a little thud hole. It was a blowout, unrepairable. I'm out there changing the tire. I can't believe this. Jesus, God, and hallelujah, and busting knuckles. And finally, the Spirit of God kind of said, "Are you finished?" And I'm like, "I'm not sure. I've got a mind to turn this car around and take that $75 check back and say, you can have it." I know y'all never get like this. Some of us are still under construction. And those of you who are at your perfected state, please pray a prayer for us. Hallelujah. The Lord said, are you through yet? And I said, "Well, I guess I'm about through. Nothing I can do about it anyway." He said, "Why don't you listen to your wife and sow it unto me?" Now, I'll tell you, that was the beginning of a revelation in my life where many, many times where I felt I deserved more. I worked harder. It should have turned out better. That principle I used over and over again. "Lord, I sow it to you. I sow it to you. I sow it to you. I sow it to you." And you know, one of the things the Holy Spirit spoke to me when we got that airplane given to us, totally given to us, came off the assembly line, it was right at $1 million when it was new. The Lord said, "You know all the times you've sowed it to me? I'm paying you back and more." You hearing me? Get hold of this. Get hold of this. A lot of people get knocked out over offense. Look at verse 17. "They have no root in themselves, so endure but for a time. After, when affliction, persecution, and righteousness for the word's sake, immediately they are" what? "Offended." Offended. Now, I want to give you four offense keys. I'm going to have to give these to you real quick. Key thoughts, and this is going to lead us into our next session. Number one, write these down. Offense key number one. If you learn to deal with offense. How about I said if? Everybody say if. If you learn to deal with offense, you will have favor with God and man. Now that's a principle we could substantiate all through the Word of God. What I just told you, I think, illustrates that, my story. Offense key number one. If you learn to deal with offense, you will have favor with God and man. Offense key number two. Everybody say uh-oh. I just want to go ahead and get that out of the way. Offense key number two. If you allow yourself to be easily offended, if you allow yourself to be easily offended, and some people are so easily offended, they get offended over fantasy. If you allow yourself to be offended, you will hinder God's work in your life and open the door to the enemy. So it's not that you just fall out of favor, honey. You're opening now the door to the enemy. If you allow yourself to be easily offended, you will hinder God's work in your life and open the door to the enemy. It's like some of you heard me tell that story about the guy that went to that professional football game. And he was one of the easily offended guys, easily offended. He saw them huddle up down on the field. He got up, marched out mad. He said, I know they're down there talking about me. Look at them in a huddle down there talking about me. That's the way some people live their life. And they wonder why they can't make progress in any relationship. All right, offense key number three. Offense key number three. Everybody say, uh-oh. All right, let's just get out of the way. Walking in the love of God. We're going to really build on this in the next sessions. Walking in the love of God will guard your heart from being easily offended. Walking in the love of God will guard your heart from being easily offended. Now, I'm going to turn that around on you, and this is going to be a little bit more, ouch, painful. But it's good medicine. Stick me again. Here comes the medicine. If you are a person who is easily offended, you're not very developed in the love of God. I don't know how to say it any easier. If you're a person who's easily offended, you are not very developed in the love of God. Didn't say you didn't know about the love of God. Didn't say you didn't have some of the love of God. But if you were developed in the love of God, you wouldn't walk around with your feelings on your shoulder so easily knocked off. How many of you know the Bible says love covers a... What does it say? Love covers a what?
Multitude.
A multitude of what?
Sin.
I mean, there's just some things when somebody's a little sharp or something doesn't work out. You just don't need to point out every little thing to someone. And when you go through life pointing out every little thing that somebody did wrong, that shows me you're easily offended, you're full of pride, you're in deception. Instead of just letting the love of God just overlook it. Cover it. Paint over it. Instead of scandal on, there's that little bait, I'm going to go nibble at that. And then wonder why things aren't working out. Now marriages, this is no extra charge right here. Marriages, you got to get hold of this. Come on now, somebody say amen.
Amen.
You got to get hold of this because in marriages, Martha and I, we've been married 25 plus years, hallelujah. And I can tell you there's things in our marriage that I do that she's told me to change, but I ain't ever going to change. Pick up your socks. I try to remember to turn my socks right side out. When you take off your socks, she has told me this, and she's right. I know she's right. But when I take off my socks, I don't know why I have a mental sock barrier. I pull my socks off and they're, lo and behold, they're the wrong side out. Which means when you launder them, you must manually now flip them around. She'll tell me and I'll remember for 2 or 3 days and I'm back to my old sickly ways. And there comes a point in a marriage, it's just like, you know, he ain't ever going to turn his socks right side out. There's other things that Martha does that are never going to change. How many of you want to know? Oh my gosh, we're out of time. It's 5 till 12. Thank God I can go home this afternoon. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't communicate with someone and improve, but you will have a much happier marriage if there are some things you just like, thank God the love of God covers it. Thank God the love of God covers it. All right, offense key number what am I on? Number four. Oh, yes, put a star by this one. Offense key number four. Refuse to receive offense. Did you know you can do that? It's not an anointing. It's not one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's something you decide. I refuse to receive offense. You hear people all the time saying, I take offense at that. Well, why don't you turn it around? I don't take offense at that. Say it. I don't take offense. Say it again. I don't take offense. How many of you can be walking out the door and you're listening to your Hosanna tape and you're driving to your office in the morning? Hallelujah, hallelujah, I love you, Jesus, you know I do. Now you know why I've never ministered a solo. Hallelujah. And lo and behold, some crazy driver pulls out in front of you. Now mind you, you don't know him, he doesn't know you. And here you are yelling at each other, talking in sign language to each other. And it's like, I'm offended. Offended with that person. Who were they? Don't know who they were. Everybody say, I don't take offense. Last verse, Acts 24. I know I've taught right up till our time. I feel like we had good ministry before I ever got up here. So I really just am free from laboring under a religious, you better have an altar call at the end of the meeting stuff. We'll have it at the beginning of the meeting if the Lord tells us. Acts 24, again, different versions may read it slightly different, but when you go to the actual Greek, the word offense is there. Some of them will just say clear conscience. Go with me to verse 16. Acts 24, verse 16. I'm reading from the King James. You may want to look on with somebody. Different versions, as I say, I'll put it a little different. Verse 16. Look at what Paul says. And herein do I exercise myself. Now, there's a thought. Everybody say exercise. Exercise. Can I amplify on that? I discipline myself. I train myself. I work at this. This is a goal that I have in life. Verse 16. Herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense. Some of them just say a clear conscience, but when you think about a clear conscience, what is a clear conscience? It's void of offending God or man. To have a conscience void of offense. Everybody say void of offense. Toward God and toward man. So if I sense, did you know that you can offend, grieve the Holy Spirit? Did you know that? We're going to be finding that out. The Bible very clearly says if you speak roughly, unkindly, sharply to other people, this grieves, offends the Holy Spirit of God. Hurts His feelings. And He's going to deal with you about that. So if God has dealt with you about something, then you need to take care of business so you can have a clear conscience towards God. Other people, maybe I hurt. I'll just, because Tim and I are buddies, and he's tough, he's rough, he received no offense. But let's just say I hurt Tim's feelings. I said something unkindly, sharply, I'm in a hurry, in the conversation, quickly on the phone, whatever. And I hurt his feelings. If I become aware of that, then I should take care of it. Why? So that I can be void of offense towards God and man. If I'm not taking care of it, and this is something that is continuing to bother him, the Bible says he should come to me. And just say, basically, you may not realize you did this the other day, but he described. And then my response should be, instead of, well, that's not what I did. Doesn't matter what I did or not, that's the way it was perceived. Then I should be walking in the love of God. You got two guys walking in the love of God. Say, Tim, I am sorry. I did not mean to do that. Will you forgive me? And all of a sudden, you've cleared out the trap, you've cleared out the bait that Satan would try to lay a trap to ruin a relationship that God is in fact building. One final thought, and then we're going to close. Don't miss this. Listen, tune in. Everybody say, tune in.
Tune in.
As our church grows, so will the opportunity for offense. I'm going to say it again. As the church grows, so will the opportunity for offense. That's why we have to understand the whole idea of scandalon, bait, trap, so that we know how to deal with it. You have departments. Somebody's going to say something, do something, call somebody and say, you know, you need to do it this way from now on. Well, I thought I did a pretty good job. Why should I have to do it that way? Well, that's policy at WOCC. Now, you can respond and say, policy at WOCC. I follow none but Jesus only. Hallelujah. Kind of have that martyr attitude. Or you can say, you know, I want to be a servant at the church the Lord has me at now, and so I'm going to endeavor to do it the way that they're asking me to do that. Amen? And so if we expose the enemy, then we cannot be caught in his trap. Let's stand to our feet. I'm going to ask Martha to come back. Father, we thank you. Lift your hands to God. Begin to thank him for the revelation. Begin to thank God for the revelation that we don't have to be caught in the Satan's trap. We don't have to fall into scandal. We don't have to have offense, which leads to anger. We don't have to have any of that. Lift your hands. Come on. Thank God that your marriage, that your job, that your friendships, that your church is free from offense. I want to hear some noise in here. I want to hear you thanking God that you are free from it. You refuse it. You're not going to receive it. Whether it's your friends, people on your job that maybe don't even know the Lord, you're not going to be offended. You're not a person easily offended. You're protected. In your marriage, those of you that are married, you're not going. Love covers a multitude of sin. Parents, children, children, parents, listen. In that realm, you are protected. Let's lift our voice. Worship seals it. Let's worship Him before we leave. Thank you, Jesus.